This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Welcome into episode 118 of the Sources Say podcast, your go-to Kentucky basketball and recruiting podcast on the growing KSR podcast network. I am your host, Jack Pilgrim of Kentucky Sports Radio. Very happy to be joined once again by the one, the only, Sean Smith of Go Big Blue Country. Sean, how the heck are you?
Jack, I just got done telling you that it's been a long week and I just poured myself a nice big glass of chocolate milk while we're recording this podcast, and I feel like a kid again.
I also poured myself something, and the people that are watching this video will be able to see this is not chocolate milk, and I absolutely need what is in my cup today, because today it's been one. It's of all the days that I've had recently, this has been one of them. Let's just start with the big news of Derek Lively, the nation's number two prospect in America. One of our personal favorites of the show. We've talked about him extensively over the last several months. Randomly, out of the blue, moves his commitment date up. He didn't have a commitment date, but there was this kind of general assumption that all the conversations I've had leading up to today, including with him, including with his mother, including with people around him, around his high school, around, you know, major recruiting circles, insiders. I mean, everybody you talk to, it was November at the earliest, and then some people, a lot of people were saying that they expected it to go all the way to the spring, so that this, that he would be one of the last people to decide, and that he would kind of be one of the final additions to whoever decide eventually adds him between most likely Kentucky and Duke, that he would kind of be the final addition to either of those recruiting classes. And then come to find out, he moves up that date all the way to September 20th at 6 p.m., which is literally on Monday, Sean.
Yeah, and I mean, it's crazy how we've sat here and we've said what? He was going to be the final decision. That was going to be the one that in the spring that you kind of tried it, that you're hoping that you get if you're Kentucky. You're hoping if you get him if you're Duke. And no, it comes out of nowhere today. And the emotion, not really the emotions, maybe the energy, the momentum, just – you go from people thinking that it's Kentucky, you go back to people thinking that it's Duke, and then you get to a point to where I honestly don't think anyone truly knows other than maybe like a handful of people. And I don't know, like it's crazy. Like given the momentum that Kentucky's had on the recruiting trail, when you see that come out, you first thing that you think is, okay, John Calipari's done it again, right? Given the momentum that they've had.
Yeah.
And I texted you today around what, noon maybe? And was like, John Calipari is doing it again. And boy, those emotions kind of, and that energy kind of changed by what, 4:30, 5 o'clock. And now, Jack, I mean, I know that you've been on the phone all day with a lot of people. I haven't been. I had to do some other things. But what's the sense that you get right now? That I know there's people that we talk to that we trust. I still don't think those people really know.
So here's the deal. I want to use this show as a very transparent, open and honest conversation about the things that we know for certain, the things that I've heard behind the scenes, the things that I'm truly guessing on, and the things that I have no idea about. Because there are things in each of those categories. And I want to make that very clear that this is going to be kind of an open and transparent conversation with you about just kind of the trajectory of these next couple days, what you're going to hear, things that are going to leak out, things that are absolutely not going to leak out, other news that may be following or leading up to this Lively commitment that could completely change things for Kentucky. There are a lot of different things going into it. But, Sean, I do want to go to that first, as soon as the news dropped that Derek Lively had set a commitment date for September 20th at 6 p.m., I will say the very first phone call that I got was from somebody that I trust very, very well. He has provided me a lot of information. He called me and he said, dude, I think we got him. I think we got him. He said, I know the way Calipari recruits. I know the way the Calipari works. I genuinely think that his last in-home visit with Lively and his family, he told Lively and his mother that it was basically, we need to know now. What are you waiting for? The exact quote was, what are you waiting for? There's nothing left to wait for. You know that you want to be here. You like Sky Clark. You like Shaedon Sharpe. You're close with Chris Livingston. I know Kaysen Wallace is trending that direction toward Kentucky as well. You like the full package of what we're providing you, the NIL deal. You're going to make a ton of money here. What are you waiting for? Kentucky is a spot for you. And that Derek Lively said, you know what? I agree with you. Let's make this happen. I'm committing to Kentucky. That was the very first conversation that somebody brought to me. And the very first text when you sent me the, holy crap, I think John Calipari is going to do it again. I said, I think he did it. I genuinely think the very first thought I had was you take the timing of it, the way Cal, the very first person that Cal went to go see when this in-person recruiting period opened up last Thursday, the very first people that they saw was Derek Lively and his mother. That was the very first trip that Cal and his staff took. And I think that says something. The one right after that was Sky Clark, who was already committed to kind of reaffirm his commitment and say, we want you, we need you, this is happening, let's go. I think that was a very indicative move. And I got to admit, I was very confident from the start, and I think a lot of people were kind of putting two and two together with that as well. And about the hour following that, I had probably six – I'm going to be totally honest with you guys. I sent probably 100 text messages and DMs, and I've been on the phone probably – 3-4 total hours of the day between 5-6-10 minute conversations with different people. So, I mean, my head is just kind of spinning, and that's kind of part of the reason why I wanted this to be kind of an open dialogue, because my head is just absolutely spinning right now. And I could definitely use your thoughts as well, Sean, to kind of ground me a little bit, because I'm just all over the place.
Well, even myself, and I deleted a tweet today. It didn't say anything like for sure, but I my tweet was, John Calipari isn't slowing down. Goodness. That was supposed to be a text message, or not a text message, a Twitter DM.
Yeah.
And I tweeted it out right around the same time I was to come out. So I deleted the tweet, 'cause I was like, okay, I don't want people thinking that this is a done deal for sure. 'Cause I was still gathering information. I was talking to you. You were talking to people. I was talking to some other people. Obviously I had Travis Branham on Kentucky Daily this morning. So this, and we, I can assure you, if you go listen to that episode, at no point did we talk about Derek Lively committing on Monday. Like, at no point. That's how this news came out of nowhere. There's one person that does know it, and obviously that's Tipton Edits, because the edit was made and was ready to roll, Jack, which tells me that had been worked on for a bit. So I don't know, like, it's been all over the place today. I had something to do at 3 o'clock today. I went into that. I have a screenshot on my phone where I think it was Gary Parrish was talking about Kentucky was the perceived leader for Derek Lively.
Yeah.
And then by the time I walked out at 5 o'clock from where I was, boy, the winds had changed. Even in some Twitter groups and some things we talk about that it's been all over the place for about 6 hours. This 6 hours feels like it's lasted 6 days.
It really honestly has. I mean, it's just been an absolute whirlwind. I have whiplash from all the different things I've done and calls I've made and texts I've received and sent and DMs and group messages. It's just been nuts. So I will say, Kentucky definitely had the early buzz immediately after the decision, basically with people just putting two and two together. I liked where Kentucky was leading up to today's announcement. I think there was a general consensus out there that the earlier a decision, the better for Kentucky, because there's, I think the general assumption is that UK is going to lose a lot of people down low, and that Derek Lively would be the shoe-in immediate impact guy. And there's still kind of some hesitancy on Duke's class, who they're going to add, who there's kind of some back and forth about who is going to return there. And I think the Duke insiders were all but saying the longer this goes, if we can get this to the spring and let the kind of roster shake itself out and decide if there's a spot for Lively and how much of a need he is, that will be better for our program, because if he were to make a decision anytime soon, if you ask any Duke insider, they would say if there's a reason that as soon as that news came out, all the Duke people immediately said, well, he's going to Kentucky, done deal, because their general mindset was the longer this goes, the better for Duke. The earlier this goes, it's a done deal for Kentucky.
And you've had other people all week talking about how this is going to be John Calipari's best class ever.
Yeah.
Ever. So, I mean, when that news comes out today, given the heater that John Calipari's been on and where they stand with Cason Wallace and just the work that they've been putting in, your initial reaction is this has to be Kentucky. Given that it's a fall announcement, because even you and I both, we've been saying this thing's going to the spring, but I don't know. It's just crazy how much this has changed today, and I'm not going to spin this, and I'm not going to try to do a media spin on this, as you see on some, a lot of people like to media spin things when things backfire or go a different direction. I'm not going to spin it that way. When we get into this Dembona Derek Lively talk, I'm going to give you who I want, but I'm going to give you who, honestly, I think they both are great, regardless of which way this thing goes, Jack. But one, you could argue one fits better, but one's a better player, in my opinion. I don't want that to sound like if Derek Lively picks Duke on Monday that I'm going to sit here and say, well, Dembona's the better guy. I'm not saying that at all. When we get to that part of the conversation, I'll hopefully can explain it.
Yeah, I completely agree, and I have my thoughts on that conversation, and there are a lot of thoughts to be had about that, because that is also another very, very key factor in all of this as well, is the where Dembona fits into this, and it could fit into things very quickly. But before we kind of touch on that, I will say that the buzz started with Kentucky to start the day, and I think that was a lot of people just making assumptions and kind of going with their gut and reading the tea leaves. As more conversations went on, as I was having more conversations with people, I got this sense that truly nobody knows for certain in the basketball world. National insiders didn't have any idea. I talked to several of them. I think team sites, I talked to Duke people, I talked to Kentucky people, I talked to other people in his recruitment. They truly had no idea. In fact, literally an hour before we started the show, I got a message from a Duke guy that said, so so Lively's a lock to Kentucky, right? And I was like, I was gonna reach out to you and say, you're hearing Duke, right? Like that's how much of a disconnect there is between this. And I will say there are three people in this world that know where Derek Lively is going, and I know this for certain: Derek Lively, his mother Kathy, and Tipton Edits. And mm-hmm. Tipton Edits, I talked to Tipton Edits earlier. He is he is literally my coworker at On Three. And being transparent with you guys, he refused to tell me. So if like, just to show that people aren't like, oh, he got tipped off by the one guy that knows it because he's doing his edit. Tipton does, like, he's not telling anybody right now. He is closed-lipped. He is not revealing anything with this.
That's what Tipton gets all. That's why Tipton has that reputation. He doesn't tell. Like that, he doesn't leak that stuff, Jack.
Yeah.
Like he's not leaking that decision.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're right. Like there's a handful of people that know. I think leading up to Monday, how many times do you think that this changes? How many times do you think that you'll talk to someone that'll say, I think my gut's Kentucky? And then you'll talk to someone else and you'll say, well, my gut's Duke. These are the ones that are difficult. Like, let's just go ahead and say it, right? Like, we knew Chris Livingston was going to Kentucky. We knew Shaden Sharp. We had everything written, everything recorded for hours and days.
Probably 4,000 pre-written words on both Shaden Sharp and Chris Livingston days before the announcement. We had this pre-recorded. This
we did.
Will not be one of those. I mean, unless we hear something definitive in the next couple of days, this will not be one of those decisions.
Well, that's what I was about to say. People are like, man, y'all are fast. No, we we record that stuff like so early in the day, it's already ready to roll because we already know it's done. We know what we want to say. This one's different. Like, Jack, I don't think that they'll get anything until we get an immediate reaction. It will literally be an immediate, initial, raw, uncut reaction from us.
Yeah.
On Monday night. Like, sources say we'll come in late Monday night unless something changes. Yeah. But the way it's going right now, this is lock in for about 48 to 72 hours here. It's going to be crazy.
I will say the last conversation I had was the probably strongest that I had that did not give me good vibes at all. And it's from somebody that knows Derek personally. And if, let me put it this way, if Derek were to tell somebody, it would be connected to his future teammates at Duke. That is where this connection would come from. So, keep that in mind. This is from somebody that knows Derek personally. We'll just keep it at that. Somebody that knows Derek personally. I got a phone call, and the very first thing somebody said, this person said, was, "I think it's Duke." And I said, "Why do you think it's Duke?" He said, I got the gut feeling that he told some of his potential future teammates, and that person said something about it being Duke. And in that same conversation, I felt very confident about the possibility of Adembona being Kentucky's almost immediate rebound, if not before Derek Lively comes off the board, Sean. And I will say that is something that I have not seen anywhere else out there. So I think I'm breaking that news on this show that there is some talk that this is going to be, if Derek Lively goes to Duke, I think Adembona is going to come off the board extremely soon. And like, I mean, extremely soon. One person told me that we could hear something in the next couple of days. If word leaks out and it gets back, because I truly don't think that publicly Duke is not leaking anything to anybody. And usually that happens leading up to an announcement. Kentucky staff is not leaking anything to anybody. There's no other staffs out there. They're like, yeah, we're out of the picture. We're not, you know, we don't know anything. This is truly the staffs don't publicly know. Is there a chance that they have set something up that they wanted to push things up and kind of do things behind the scenes? Think of Kyle Filipowski's decision to commit to Duke. And this is something I kind of keep going back to. That Kyle Filipowski was one of those that UK tried to make a strong last second push for him, and Duke closed quickly. And that was a random, like, Thursday afternoon, Friday afternoon decision. It came out of nowhere. And he randomly committed to Duke out of the blue. There was an edit already made things. It was kind of like one of those, damn, we should have known that in advance. I can't believe that we got on this one. And I worry that this is the same case that, again, this is just us kind of talking publicly, and this is like a phone call between you and I. Just I'm trying to just kind of get my thoughts out as they're happening, because there's just been so much going on. But I do sometimes get the feel that either Duke has seen the writing on the wall with Kentucky, you know, getting Shaedon Sharpe, getting Chris Livingston, wanting to go for the final kill with Derek Lively, and then kind of slithering their way in and kind of trying to steal this recruiting momentum back and do things behind the scenes and get this over with. Duke is a very – think of the Paolo Banchero decision. Think of the Dariq Whitehead. Even though that Dariq was kind of favoring Duke there for a while, the way his decision kind of unfolded and how Duke's decisions are abrupt – they're calculated and they happen quickly. And I think that's something that I kind of keep going back to, is how quick this happened, the timing of Kentucky's buildup, how this would be kind of their counterpunch. And that's the one thing that's kind of holding me back. Now, Kentucky's done that before. They did it with Kevin Knox. We've seen it with Julius Randle. He was committed silently behind the scenes for 3 weeks and nobody had any idea. Jamal Murray was the same way. Everybody thought he was a lock to Oregon and he surprised everybody. Kentucky knew that whole time. It feels like both sides are purposely withholding information more than any other recruitment out there, and that they are it's almost adds more intrigue because it makes our jobs harder, but also more exciting because it's not like, yeah, Chris Livingston's going to Kentucky, kid's going to Duke, this kid's whatever. It's like this, there's adding this other intrigue where I think there's some behind the scenes fishiness going on. It just, it has that feel to it.
Well, that's the thing. Like, we always know 99.9% of the time in this job, we know where someone's going. We don't know on this one. These are the ones that you look at and go, they make you want to pull your hair out, but at the same time, they are exciting. If you're a fan, I'm sure you're not excited because I think Kentucky fans would rather say, I'd rather know that he's coming for sure than to sit here and be watching my phone, because then you get that immediate uncut reaction of yay, jubilation, or oh, man, like put all this time in following this and then you don't get him. But this is going to decide the number one class. This will decide who gets number one. Whoever gets this commitment on Monday night, unless, I mean, there's a crazy surprise off the wall and it's somebody that's not Kentucky or Duke, and I don't think that.
That would be completely off the wall, bonkers.
It would be. So I don't see that. So Kentucky, the number one recruiting class is going to be wrapped up Monday night by 7 o'clock. I honestly fully believe that, because then you could still – Kentucky could still go Cason Wallace, Adem Bona, and not get number one, Jack. Mm-hmm. Like, I still think that Duke would claim the number one class. If Kentucky gets Derek Lively – and just finish with Cason, they're number one.
Yeah, it's done.
That's how, when you have one and two, and then you throw Livingston in there, that's the number one class. Like, this thing is coming down. There isn't going to be anything in April. It's who gets number one in September. Like, that's how big this commitment, this decision is.
Yeah.
But regardless, let's say Derek does go to Duke. This is still a very, very, very good class. Mm-hmm. For John Calipari, that still has the potential of being his best, and potential wise and talent wise, like this is still going to be a very good class, regardless of what happens Monday night.
Here's the frustrating part of all this. If you look at the recruiting rankings, you would see Adem Bona rival somehow, some way has him in the 30s, which is just unbelievably stupid. I mean, if you watch,
doesn't finish there.
If you watch Adem Bona play, you will have no doubt in your mind that he is a top 15 prospect. He is a perfect college ready big. And I think if you're looking for a positive, and look, I'm going to keep it totally real with you guys. I think by Monday, there's a chance that UK has one or the other locked up, committed, ready to go, no matter what. Like, I truly think that there is a chance that Adem Bona's decision is moved up to the next couple days, where you, at the very least, at the end of next week, I think UK will have one of Derek Lively or Adem Bona. So I think even if this turns into a loss for Kentucky, and this would be it'd be a loss. Like, I'm not even going to like try to spin that. Derek Lively is a 7'2". I mean, you guys, I don't have to explain myself about Derek Lively. I mean, you guys know how much I would love his game and how high his ceiling is and what I think he can do at the college level and in the NBA. I mean, his potential is just absolutely through the roof. But what fans need to realize is that Adem Bona is a top 10 prospect. If you actually watch this kid play and you see how all of the little tiny intangibles, all the small things, him diving for loose balls, how hard his screens are, that he tries to tear the rim down every single time he dunks the ball, how hard of a rebounder he is, how hard he runs the floor. All of these things are, I mean, perfect, seamless fit for what UK is trying to do in this running up and down the floor. They want to get back to that fast pace, you know, true electric Kentucky basketball style of offense. They want to modernize this thing, and either of those bigs can modernize your offense. They both run the floor extremely well. They catch lobs, they dunk the ball. They can fit in that seamlessly in that four out one in as the anchor of the offense. They can both do that perfectly. We are talking the number two prospect versus a top 10 prospect. I don't care what the other recruiting rankings say. I've seen this kid play with my own two eyes several times. I know exactly what Adem Bona brings to the table. He's a damn good basketball player, and UK would be absolutely crazy to not be excited about his commitment. And I think that no matter how this unfolds, if you want my true transparent, 100% honest opinion on Derek Lively's decision and the next week of Kentucky basketball. I think if you were to, as of 7:32 p.m. on Friday evening, I think it's 60-40 Duke. I think I think a decision's been made. If not, I think like 85% certain that Derek knows what he's doing. Do I think that there's some kind of background leaking, trying to, you know, get people off the scent type stuff, that they want this to be as quiet and you know, nobody knows as possible? I do think that there's a lot going on there. If you had to make me pick, I think it's 60-40 Duke right now for Derek Lively. And if he ends up as a Blue Devil, I think Adembone is a Kentucky Wildcat at the very latest by the end of next week. I think he could be a Kentucky Wildcat as early as early Monday before Derek Lively even commits to Duke, if that's how this unfolds. I think that this is going to be a 1-2 punch for the good, no matter how it unfolds for Lively.
Which leads me into this. If you ask me right now who I want, if I were Kentucky and I was a Kentucky fan, I would want Derek Lively. Like, I'm not going to tell you, I'm not going to shy away from that. Like, you and I have been pushing the Derek Lively train for a while on here. Like, we both, even though he's not the number one guy in the class, we still think that he's our favorite guy in the class. But Adembona, you can make the case that he fits with the rest really, really well. Like, the best, because especially if Cal is doing this four-guard, four-perimeter look lineup with Chris Livingston as a small ball four, then you need the big bruiser in the paint. Like, that's where Adembona would fit alongside the rest of this class. Derek Lively, I mean, also, you would plug Derek Lively there and get that length and the athleticism, the ability to step on the floor and do some things. But Bona would fit with what Cal is wanting to do. That's why it wouldn't – would it be a loss? Yeah. When you lose the number two guy to Duke, yeah, that's a huge loss, a player of the caliber of Derek Lively. But it's not just settling. If Kentucky ends up with Adembona, it's not just settling for second best. That you would still get a very, very good player that I think is going to be a future pro and could help lead you to a Final Four in that class.
I'm speaking out loud here. Adembona is Oscar Tshiebwe I think he's a 6'10" Oscar Tshiebwe, long. Runs the floor so well, strong.
Rebounds
hard, dunks hard. A constant motor machine. That is who Adembona's game is.
There's no play that comes from him. Every play that he comes up with, there's physicality behind it.
Everyone.
If it's getting to a loose ball, if it's grabbing a rebound, if it's running the floor, there's physicality and intensity in every move that his body makes. And we're not just pumping it up because of the news with Lively now. Like, we've been on the whole thing that Bona, like, I wanted both of them to be in this class.
Yeah.
I mean, I still do want both of those guys to be in this class because I think that they could work together. I think that it could work out, honestly. But it looks like for about the last few weeks, Jack, we've known it's going to be one or the other. And if one domino falls, the other one's going to fall with it. That's how things like this work. And, yeah. I mean, Adembona is a very, very talented player that has a ton of upside that you watch and see how he develops and how he moves and projects. Does he stay at that spot at Rivals? Probably not. He's going to climb in those rankings. Absolutely.
I don't care if he's 137th in the country in Rivals or any of the other rankings. I see it with my own two eyes. I know how good Adembona is. I think – and kind of going back to what you just brought up with one or the other or both, I will say when I woke up this morning, I wasn't confident in the possibility of both of them playing together, Derek Lively and Adembona. I think it was a one or the other decision 100%. But one conversation I had today at least made me more open to the idea that if Derek Lively is playing, you know, playing games and wanting to, you know, throw people off the scent, and he does end up committing to Kentucky, I think that would kind of push Adembona's timeline back very clearly. I do think that Bona is favoring Kentucky right now and would like to be at Kentucky. I will say that the hesitancy is on Bona's camp about playing together with Derek Lively, and I think there is a pitch right now. UK wants both of them. and thinks that they could both play together. I think it's a conversation of Adembonus Kant being worried about enough touches and enough playing time. And not even like, this isn't a kid that's like, I need 25 touches a game. I need 8 shots a game, whatever, like, you know, whatever the case may be. He's not demanding that. He just doesn't want to be seen as an afterthought in this recruiting class. And UK is pitching him on, look, we can put you guys together. There's a fit there. And you need to understand what UK is pitching right now is, look, Derek Lively is a 7'2", ridiculous wingspan, you know, but he's thin, he's lanky, versus Adembona, who's 6'10", long, strong as an ox, man-child. Those two going against each other in practice is going to be better than any practice that either of those two will have at the college level, if either of them went the pro route, or even, shoot, I'd say in the NBA for at least a minute, depending on which team they would end up going to, that those two going against each other could not be a better complementary match for what the other person needs. Adembona needs Derek Lively's length to show, hey, I need to figure out how to score against NBA-type length. Lively needs to know how to score against NBA-type strength, and that's what Adembona has. Those two could work seamlessly together, especially in practice, and I think that's something that Kentucky's pitching really hard, and they're going to continue to pitch this last weekend that he's technically – both of them are technically uncommitted recruits, that there is a fit for both of them, that UK wants both of them bad. And I think that Adem's camp is slightly opening up more to that idea by the day, and that's something that I need to – like I keep telling myself that even if we get a shock from Derek Lively, he commits to Kentucky, that it's not like, well, Adembona's going to UCLA and, you know, we'll never hear from him again until he goes to the NBA. I do think that the best case scenario for Kentucky right now is that Derek Lively, all of this was manipulated by Kentucky's side of things, and they want to continue this recruiting momentum and sign the number one and number two prospects in the country, 3 top 5 kids, blah, 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 you know, solidify that number one spot, and then say, Adem, the choice is yours, the ball's in your court. If you want to be built different and you want to have this, you know, be the most prepared at the NBA level, you come to Kentucky and you go against Derek Lively every day in practice. I think that's going to be Kentucky's pitch right now.
How many times do you think John Calipari is on the phone this weekend?
I hope that he is on the phone right now and doesn't get off until Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern time.
Yeah.
I want this to be – even if he's seen as a Duke favorite behind the scenes with Derek Lively, I want Cal to work his butt off until that final moment. Or if he knows for certain that it's a done deal, that Derek's going to Duke, I want him to solidify a commitment from Adembona. Sean, I want to ask you, what do you think a commitment from Bona Monday morning would do for this program? Do you think it would – do you think that the fan base would still be heartbroken about the possibility of being Lively, or do you think it would kind of negate that?
It's an immediate reaction thing. Like, recruiting is immediate reaction, how you're feeling. You could go on and get 4 top 15 guys over the course of 2 weeks, but then you have a top target that goes elsewhere, and you're like, oh, man, now we're on the bad end of the recruiting momentum. I think that it would be good. I think it would be a good shot in the arm. I think it would keep the momentum rolling. Kentucky staying in the current news headlines and everything. While you would have headlines for Derek Lively to Duke, at the same time, you'd have headlines for Adembona to Kentucky. Kentucky would land a 5-star big. Duke would land a 5-star big. It would keep that momentum flowing. Yes, you would lose the number one recruiting class. But at the end, both of these classes, Kentucky-Duke, if Duke ends up with Lively, Kentucky ends up with Bona, rankings are rankings. How many times have we seen this with UK when they have number one or number two and they end up not making the NCAA tournament, or they end up not going to the Final Four? You still have to settle it between the lines. You have to settle it. And Kentucky has a class being put together right now that has a lot of elite talent. Adembona is another elite talent. He's talented. You can turn on his tape and look at it. You can see exactly the same things that you're talking about. If you haven't watched his tape, go watch it.
Yeah.
You see elite athleticism, elite talent with Derek Lively. You also see it with Adembona, but they're different. They're just two different top players.
Here's the deal. Derek Lively is going to be a 10 8-4 player at wherever he goes at the collegiate level. Adem Bona is going to be an 8-9-3 player wherever he goes. I mean, is one of those truly going to be a game changer versus the other at the next level? In terms of the drop off from one to the other, is Lively truly just heads over Adem Bona, or is Adem Bona that much better than Lively? Whoever you favor, depending on what you like more. I think that they're both very, very, very good college basketball players, and either school is going to be absolutely giddy about getting either of them, or both. I mean, if this works out in Kentucky's favor, I still, you know, that he ends up at Kentucky, I think they're still going to push for Bona, and there's a chance they get both, and that would be obviously best case scenario. But I do think that this is the best case scenario for Kentucky, that they are going to have a top five recruit committed very, very soon at the center position. If I am truly up in the air, I'm leaning Duke right now for Derek Lively, but I truly do not know. I don't think anybody truly knows outside of those three. I think there's whispers. I think there's some buzz out there that, about different things. But I truly do not know. I know that a lot of the national people do not know. A lot of the insiders on both sides, they truly don't know. I mean, there's literally, like I said, an hour ago, a Duke person in my DM saying, so it's a done deal to Duke, or Lively is a done deal to Kentucky, right? That just goes to show where things are and where things stand. I wouldn't be shocked either way. All I know is that Kentucky is going to have good news coming very, very soon. And Bona's right around the corner. And then right after that, I still feel very confident about Cason Wallace. And UK is going to have five top 15-ish level recruits signed by the early signing period. And that in itself is just absolutely absurd. And tip of the cap to John Calipari and his staff. They have done a hell of a job. And they make our job easier to talk about stuff like this, but damn, they also make it harder, because today has just been absolutely nuts. And if I sounded like I was talking in circles or all over the place, I truly apologize, but I wanted this to be today's been a whirlwind, and I want to get all my thoughts off my chest and kind of have this be a little vent session for the both of us. So hopefully, Sean, you were able to get all of your thoughts off as well. I know I get long-winded.
Well, I mean, you've had the longer day than I've had, because, I mean, you've been on the phone call or on phone calls constantly. Like, I talked to you early this morning. I didn't talk to you again until about, 30 minutes ago before we started recording. And, I mean, I know that you've been busy, but this is it's been a whirlwind. I mean, when you cover these kids and you follow these recruitments and you report about every single thing that comes out, it's a journey. It's a journey with every single one of these things. It's something that we love to do. We love talking about these guys. We love following their stories, their recruitments. One fan base is going to be very excited. One's going to be upset. That's how recruiting works. But whatever happens, I think that Kentucky is going to be in good shape regardless. And I'm not spinning that. I wouldn't have said anything different if Derek Lively commits to Kentucky Monday night. I won't say anything different. I still believe that Adem Bona is a very good basketball player that I would be just fine with, honestly. You can win a lot of games with Adem Bona as your five man. You win a lot of games with Derek Lively there as well. Both are talented, and we'll see what happens on Monday. I'm sure Kentucky fans are going to be nervously watching Twitter feeds and hanging on to every single report, message boards. It's going to be a busy weekend.
Yeah. We were deciding 5 minutes before we started recording this. We said, do we want to put an episode right now that basically is like, there will be people that listen to this and they'll say, oh, 35 minutes or whatever this has been. And they, you know, the end thing is they don't know anything either. And yeah, that's the case. I, you know, we were trying to decide, do we want to record a show that basically says we don't know? And I think we both decided that I think the fans like knowing all this stuff, and the numbers indicate this, and I want to talk about that in a second, that they like just knowing kind of the latest of what's happening and where the tides are turning. And if more news breaks in the next couple hours or tomorrow or Sunday or Monday morning leading up to the decision, we're going to record another episode. We're going to put another one out there. We're going to be at the Fans First Fan Fest tomorrow night after the UK football game, where we're going to watch the team practice and we're going to watch the team scrimmage for the first time. So we're going to already have another episode geared up. So we're already going to, we're already planning on having those conversations about, you know, what's going on with the team currently and whatever the latest is with this recruitment. We're going to bring that up as well. So we're going to have the latest and greatest information. That's what we eventually decided. We wanted to put this out there, even if there's nothing definitive out there that says he is going to Duke or he's going to Kentucky or he's truly undecided, whatever. We wanted to just kind of put out the latest of what we talked about. Me personally, I've been on the phone for hours on end, and I just needed a little bit of a vent session. So I appreciate you guys listening. And Sean, I appreciate you listening as well, because you need a lot of listening on this one.
I got to get used to this camera stuff. I got to stop sending you signals and hand gestures and all this stuff, because I remember now that this goes out and we're in the middle of this pod and I'm trying to communicate something to you. So if anybody's watching this and you see me making hand signals, it's just something. Don't worry about it. It's nothing bad. Like, I completely forgot. I'm up here shaking my hand in the screen trying to get your attention.
It's all good. I will say, look, Sean, this show means a lot to the both of us. We have a lot of fun doing it. And I just want to thank all of our listeners, because I added up. So here's behind the scenes of how we do this show. I post it to the Sources Say feed. We have an individual feed with the Sources Say podcast that I post it to there. I also post it on the KSR feed. It's a feed that gets all of the Sources Say podcasts, or all of the different KSR podcasts, the 11 Personnel, you know, the different, all the different shows that are on the KSR feed. It all goes on one. And then I also uploaded to YouTube. So I combine all of those numbers, the numbers from our individual Sources Say feed, the KSR feed, and the YouTube page. And Sean, the last month, every single episode that we've put up has gotten at least 10,000 downloads. 10,000 downloads. And it sucks, because the charts right now, it only accounts for the Sources Say feed. And even with the Sources Say feed, Sean, we're the number one college basketball podcast in America. Just the Sources Say feed. So if you take all of the numbers combined from the Sources Say feed, the KSR feed, and the YouTube listeners, Sean, all of them, I'm willing to bet that we're at least top 25 in the basketball podcast for certain, but I'm willing to bet that we're top 50 in all of sports. I mean, probably more than that. I mean, I don't know what these other podcasts are getting, but over 10,000 an episode is absolutely absurd. And I am just so, so grateful to our listeners for coming back every week and making this a part of your weekly routine. Sean, this is, it kind of hit me where it was like, holy crap, that many people care about what we have to say and what, you know, and that's part of the reason why we did tonight's episode. I was like, there's 10,000 people that tune into this show. At least a strong portion of it, of them, are going to care about us, you know, the latest information on these recruitments and what's going on. So I figured at least a strong majority of that, but it kind of hit me where it was like, wow, 10,000 at least, some as many as 12,000-13,000, but at minimum at least 10 for every single episode we put out. So I just want to thank all of our listeners. This is just an absolute joy, and I'm grateful for each and every one of them.
Absolutely. I'm the exact same way. This platform is it's a blessing to me. I'm honored to be on this podcast with you every single week, sometimes more than once a week. I cannot wait until we get into this basketball season. We get some pregame content, postgame content. That's where I really put my touch on this podcast. I know you're the man, you're the guy in the recruiting world. I'll touch on some things here and there. I'll obviously do some scouting, but when the season gets in, that's where I really put my intel into this thing. And that's what I'm looking forward to the most. By the way, for a chart update right now, Sources Say sits at number 30 in the basketball section of Apple Podcast. Something tells me we're going to climb into the top 10 after this episode.
We would be number one undoubtedly if we were able to combine all those feeds. That's top. I mean, that's just stupid. I'm so taken aback by everything.
And that's why I guess we want to ask, right? Like, you all that listen to Sources Say, listen to it on the Sources Say feed,
please.
That way, please. We can show the numbers. We can show the traffic. It reflects in the charts and stuff. That way, that pushes. because I know the radio show goes on the KSR radio feed, right? Is that how that works?
Yes.
And then the podcasts go all to the one that's on, and then the KSR podcast channel. So yeah, if you listen to Sources Say, it's still a hit for KSR's numbers and stuff, but listen to the Sources Say feed. That way we can kind of get an accurate read on exactly what we're doing, Jack.
Yeah. Like I can see the total numbers, but I'd like to see it in relation to the other people that we're competing against. We already know that we're the number one. We're a top 30 basketball podcast. That's NBA and college basketball. We're the number one college basketball podcast in America, and at least 10,000 listeners every single episode. If please subscribe to the Sources Say feed and listen there, please give us 5-star reviews while you're there, and just go that way, because that's where we can get the real chart numbers and really make a strong push. So please subscribe, please give us some 5-star reviews. We truly, truly appreciate it. And Sean, we're going to be back tomorrow night. We're going to do another episode talking about what we see at FanFest tomorrow. And I'm sure we'll have more Derek Lively and Adembona information at that point. So I hope fans are excited for that. Please listen to this, subscribe to our Sources Say feed, and I'm grateful for each and every one of you.
And follow along tomorrow too, because we'll both be at Kroger Field covering the UK Chattanooga football game. So Sources Say in the press box together at football. Like, what can't we do? We'll cover a rifle. It doesn't matter to us. We'll do it all.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a lot of fun with this. We're grateful for each and every one of you, Sean. With that, let's get out of here. Where can fans find your work?
You can find my work at GoBigBlueCountry.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at GBBCountry.
You can find me on Twitter at JackPilgrimKSR. Reach out to me via email at JPilgrim@KentuckySportsRadio.com. With that, we'll be back tomorrow for another jam-packed Sources Say podcast. We will see you then.